I'm sorry we're getting started late. I
checked out as I left the room and didn't have the handouts or my notes or anything, so I had to send a friend to go back and pick it up for me. So you need a blue sheet and you need a white sheet. And if you'll just set the white one aside for now, and we'll get back to that in a few minutes. Let me go ahead and just introduce myself. My name is Andrea Queering, and I am on staff at the Baptist Student Union at the University of Oklahoma, and I've been there about a year and a half. I'm originally from Oklahoma City, but I graduated from Oklahoma Baptist University in 2000 with a degree in broadcast journalism that I haven't used yet, and probably won't ever. So it's okay. Get your degree. God works the rest of it out. And went to work for an advertising agency for a couple years and then came on staff with the BSU. So I've so loved working with college students this last year and a half. You guys are the best and the brightest and for sure the most fun. And so I have really loved being able to be a part of that. And I have several passions, and one of them is studying God's Word, and that's what we're here to do today, is to learn how to study God's Word. And so I want to kind of give you a little bit of background on me on that. In the fall of 2001, my mentor taught me this method of studying the Bible. And it's just an inductive way to really dig into the Word and see what it's saying and to really be able to interpret it correctly and apply it to your life correctly. And it just really changed things for me. My quiet times in the past, you know, as you go through and you read and you get to something that seems like, I don't really get that. And so you just keep reading because you don't understand it and you just move on, you know? And or you pick it up and you look at it and you're like, okay, I don't understand that. You read it through maybe two or three times and then you go grab a commentary or you go grab a Sunday school teacher or somebody and say, explain this to me. And so what I want to be able to teach you guys how to do today is to be able to really look at that for yourself, to be able to pull out every bit of truth that is there before you go and consult someone else, so that the Word of God can speak directly to your heart, so that you don't have to be spoon-fed. And I think especially in this country, and even more so in the Bible Belt, we are really spoon-fed. And we need to know the Word of God for ourselves. So I'm really passionate about this, and what I want to teach to you today is a method that has been, it's not mine, it's not my mentor's, it's Precept Ministries. If you've heard of Precept Ministries, this is their way of inductive Bible study. And some other people do it some different ways, but I'm going to teach you the basic gist of it today. So let's pray and we'll get started. God, we just are so privileged to be able to study your Word. You have given us this love letter, your words to us individually and for our lives. And you have given us a responsibility to know it. And Father, I pray that we would just engage our hearts and our minds for the next hour, that we would be able to just learn a method. All we're doing is talking about a method. But Lord, your Holy Spirit is the one that is teaching us. And so I pray, God, that you would just speak through me, that your truth would just go forth. And God, that the students that are in this room, that this would be something that would equip them to go home and really be able to open the Word of God for themselves, that they might know you more intimately and know how to live their lives according to your Word. God, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to have two parts. The first part, lecture and filling out some of your stuff, the blue page. And then the second part, we're going to actually go through this together and practice it. So looking at what does the Word of God say about itself? That's what we first want to look at. So if you go to Psalm 119, we'll start there. Psalm 119, verse 9. And it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. We've got to know the word. And if you go on through the rest of chapter 119, which is just a place we could camp for a while, But if you go on through there, you'll see that the word revives us. It gives us strength. We get our understanding from it. It sustains us. The sum of your word is truth. Psalm 119 is what that's all about. If you go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed. That's what we're going for here when we're studying the Word. Not to be conformed to this world. We're not to be like the men of the world. We are to be transformed, more Christ-like. And that's what the Word of God does in our lives when we really understand it and are able to apply it. So that's the goal. Transformation. More Christ-like. And we have a responsibility to the Word. This is just hypothetical, but I want you to think about what is your primary source for information about the Word of God? What's your primary source? Who do you go to first when you have a question? Do you go to your pastor? Do you talk to a campus minister, maybe a Sunday school teacher, pick up a tape or something? What's your primary source for information about the Bible? And the second question is, are you sure what you believe is really what the Bible says? Or do you believe it because you've heard somebody say it to you all your life? Because if not, you could be believing something the Bible doesn't teach. You could be believing something about yourself or about God that's not really there. It's been man's interpretation of it instead of what God has to say. So that's the importance of going to the Word itself and making sure that you know what the Word says, because unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there that don't really know the Word. And they're put in a position of speaking, and they'll throw their spin on it, and we take it as truth, do we not? That's that spoon-fed. We just go, and we go to some conference, or we go to some thing, and we hear somebody speak, flip through the channels, and hear somebody say something that's not true, and we take it in as truth. And so you have to be so careful, you have to know it for yourself. And we've been given a command from God concerning our responsibility to the Word. And it is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Handling accurately the word of truth. That's what we want to do. That's our responsibility. Ezra 7:10 is one of my favorite verses, and it's just been, even for the last less than a year, that God's really laid this on my heart. And it says, for Ezra set in his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Pretty simple verse, right? Ezra had three things on his heart. He made a decision that he was going to study the law of the Lord, that he was going to practice it. He was going to live it out. Not only was he going to read it, he was going to really study it, and he was going to live it out, and then he was going to teach it to all of Israel. And I think that is a command for us that that we should be doing. We need to really know it so that we can live it out and then pass it on. It's the baton that Strapazon talked about today. And I think I had thought about this earlier, and then Nick Ripken said it the other night so perfectly in a way that only he can say it. You know, I don't know what God's doing in your life. Each one of you has God has a plan for each one of you that's totally different. And you may find yourself as a missionary in some country so far away. And as he said the other night, how do you feed your soul when you are so far behind enemy lines? And there is not another believer in the area that you're in. There is no Bible study. There is no church. There is no Sunday school class. How do you feed your soul? And we've got to be able to feast on the Word of God for ourselves. That's the only thing that can get you through those times, if that's where God is calling you, if you have no other outreach, which is our primary source anyway. We should be going to this. Okay, so what we're going to look at is called inductive Bible study, and it's based upon precepts method of study. This method brings you face-to-face with the Word of God, apart from other people's understanding or interpretation of the text. You're going to interpret what God wants you to hear, not what man wants you to hear. So commentaries and other books and tapes and things like that are good. Those are not bad, but they're going to be consulted after you have done your part to make sure that you've observed everything correctly and that you've really looked at what the scripture says. These are to check your conclusions. There have been many godly men and women that have gone before us that have figured some things out. And so we have a privilege to be able to look at the things that they've learned and to check yourself. You know, it's kind of like having the answers in the back of your math book, you know, where you do the work first, but then you can flip to the back and make sure you got it right. So that's what the commentaries and stuff like that are for, is to just kind of check and make sure that you've received from the Holy Spirit what some others have gone before and said. Okay, looking at your blue sheet, the first thing, the main requirement, is a willingness to slow down and really look at what the scripture is saying. And this is not read your Bible in a year, which is not a bad thing either, but really slowing down and really looking at what the Word of God says. You've got to be able to take it piece by piece. And so if you like to whip through it kind of fast, this might be a challenge to really slow down and really look at it. But that's the main requirement. It involves three skills. Skill number one is observation. And this is seeing the truth for yourself. And it answers the question, what does the text say? What does the passage say? And I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit. We're going to highlight the three skills, and then we're going to come back and fill in the rest. So if you have to skip some blanks, it's okay. What does the passage say? That's what observation is all about. This teaches you to see precisely what the passage says, literally. What does it say? And it requires time, and it requires practice, and we're going to get into all the skills of that here in just a minute. But the more that you read, the more familiar you become with the text, the more the truths will become obvious to you. And it is the basis for correct interpretation and application, which is point number two. Interpretation answers the question, what does the passage mean? What does the passage mean? If you rush into this interpretation, which is what a lot of us want to do. We don't really want to look and see what it says. We just want to go, what does it mean? And if you rush into that without really laying a good foundation of what does it say, you're not going to interpret it correctly. And that's where we have a lot of danger. So what we're going to really focus in a lot on today is the observation. It's the basis. It's the foundation. And so interpretation will help you. If you've got your observation right, then you'll be able to interpret it correctly. What does the passage mean? Otherwise, you might be colored by your culture, what your feelings are, how you have been predispositioned in the past to think about something, rather than really looking at what it really means. Okay? Number three is application. And application answers the question, how does the meaning of the passage apply to me? How does the meaning of the passage apply to me? You may have heard application in the past be referred to as what does the passage mean to me, which is totally different. What does the passage mean to me means I can read this and I can decide whatever I want it to mean for me. What does the meaning of the passage, or how does the meaning of the passage apply to me, means that what God's meaning is for it, how does that apply to me? Not whatever spin I want to put on it. Does that make sense? So it's important that we ask the right question. How does the meaning of this passage apply to me? Got it? Okay. We're going to go back through, starting back up with observation. Did we do application? Yeah, okay. So, application. How does the meaning of the passage apply to me? It's just you're going to live it out. This is the practice. And now we're going to go back through, and we're going to talk about them a little bit more in depth. So go back to the top of the page, observation. The first thing before you ever get started is pray. Our Holy Spirit is our teacher, and so we need to pray and ask God to speak to us through His Word, and He will. Anything that we ask for in His name, He'll give it to us. So before you get started, just pray and ask God to speak to you, and ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and your guide as you get going. The second thing we need to keep in mind as we read is to identify the context. Identify the context means we have to learn to interpret the scripture in light of what's around it. It's the setting. The context is the environment in which something dwells. The setting, basically. That's context. Let me give you an example. This is a talk back time. What does the word trunk mean? Trunk.
It depends on the context.
Okay, but what does it mean to you?
It could be an elephant's nose.
Okay, what else?
Box.
A big box?
Car trunk.
Car trunk? Tree trunk?
Space.
A chest? Space?
Military
trunk. Oh, okay. Good. I don't know anything about military things. Swim trunks? Okay, so that's exactly the right idea. Well, how do you use it in a sentence? So you've got to know what's around it before you know what the word trunk means. So that's just the same way with a verse in the Bible. We like to take that verse and just pull it out and leave it by itself over here. And that's not the way it was intended. We've got to look at the verses around it, and then the book within that that's around that verse, and then the whole counsel of the Word of God. Okay, so that's context, everything around it. Number three, observe the obvious. Observe the obvious. Things that are easy to see is what we want to look at. People and places and events, things like that. Just to discover significant, repeated ideas. And an example for this is when you do a puzzle, when you're working a puzzle, what do you look for first? You've got all the puzzle pieces out. The corner pieces, the edges, right. Why? Because it's the easiest to see. Okay, same idea. Look for the obvious. Look for the easy things. Who's the author? Who's the recipient? Who's being talked about in this passage? What is the what's the event that's taking place here? So type of literature is going to help you out in this too. If it's a historical book, like most of the Old Testament or the Gospels, then you're going to look for people, places, and events. People, places, and events if it's historical. If it is an epistle, a letter, then you're going to look for the author and the recipients. Who's he writing to? And that's going to give you some main ideas about the book. Okay, number four, read the text with a purpose. And you do that by asking five W's and an H. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. As you go through and you read, you're just going to ask yourself those questions. Who's doing the action here? How is this happening? What is happening? Why is it happening? How is it happening? I think I mentioned that one already. So who, what, where, when, why, and how. Just keep those five W's and H's just kind of rolling in your mind as you begin to read through the text. So read the text with a purpose. And let it speak for itself. This is not a time to put it in your own words. You want to really let the text speak for itself, okay? We'll get into that, the details of that here in a minute. Look for and mark key repeated words and phrases. Key repeated words and phrases. If you read 1 John chapter 4, the word love is said like 27 times. It's crazy. It's so much. So do you think that that chapter has something to do with love? Probably so. Sometimes it's not quite that easy. Sometimes they don't have 27 times of a repeated word. It might just be two or three times. But you want to look for those words that are repeated and those phrases that are repeated because they're there to tell us something. So look for repeated words and phrases. They reveal important subjects, and those important subjects reveal themes. And then from there, after you've been looking for and marking your key repeated words, you're going to make a list of everything that you learned from those words, those repeated words and phrases that you've marked. And the list is going to tell you something specific about that keyword. And again, we're going to get into that in just a minute. I'll give you some examples. Okay, the other thing you want to look for is expressions of time. There are lots of times where it says after that, or until, or continually, always, things like that you want to look for. You know, if it says, we always give thanks for you, or whatever. Man, that's a lot. It's not just like, we gave thanks for you once, you know. No, we always give thanks for you. You want to look for time phrases like that. And in terms of conclusion also, things like therefore, for this reason, so that, those indicate that a summary is happening or a conclusion is being made. So you want to look for those kind of words too. Terms of conclusion. Okay, that's observation in a nutshell. Are we ready to move on? Are there any questions so far? Good. I've either thoroughly confused you or you've got it all down. Okay, number two, interpretation. What does the answer, what question is answered with interpretation? Good. What does the passage mean? Okay. Thorough, like I've said before, thorough and accurate observation will lead to correct interpretation. It's kind of a tongue twister, but that's what it means. Okay? Number one, remember context rules. Context rules, you've got to keep the verse in the context of what's around it. Never take it out to leave it by itself and to mean what it, to mean whatever you want it to mean. Okay? Number two, Scripture will not contradict itself. Scripture will not contradict itself. And there may be things that you'll begin to study and read about that you'll think, now wait a minute, I thought I read about six pages earlier this. Now those two things might seem opposite at the time, but Scripture is God-breathed, it is without error. There are no mistakes, and it will not contradict itself. It may seem hard at the time to reconcile those differences, but the more that you study and the more you get to know the whole counsel of the Word of God, that's why that whole context is important, then some of those things will begin to make more sense to you. And to understand that you don't have to have all the answers the first time you look at it. You know, I think sometimes it's real easy for us to go, I don't get it. I need to know this now. You know, what's the answer? And some of these major issues take a lot of years of study and time and prayer and allowing God to just work in your heart and teach you those things. So don't panic if you haven't figured it out right away. And again, that's where maybe some commentary and some other outside help might be a good thing. But Scripture will not contradict itself. You just sometimes have to put your faith in what God is saying, even if you don't fully understand it at the time. And with time, He'll help you in those areas. Okay, number three, look for the meaning of the passage. Look for the meaning of the passage. Take the passage literally and try to understand what the author really wanted to say. Unless stated otherwise, take it literally and understand what the author is really trying to get across. Interpretation is also where you would do things like character studies. This is where you would do cross-references, where you might look up Greek and Hebrew word studies and study figures of speech, parables, that kind of thing. So interpretation is where you would do all those extras. And I've got on the back of your page some websites and some resources. Those websites, crosswalk.com and searchgodsword.org. Those are two really good websites that give you some things like interlinear Bible and commentaries and concordances, concordances, dictionaries, history, some of that stuff that might be some good study tools for you. Again, after you've done your observation and most of your interpretation. So those are some good resources for you. Okay, so that's interpretation. Let's move on to a little bit of application. And application is really the easiest part in terms of the steps that you take. It's just real simple. Just do what you've just learned. You know? Just do it. You've just learned it. You've just studied it. You've read it. You've interpreted it. Now do it. You know? Go and live your life that way. Now where it gets hard is where it gets convicting, and we don't want to live like that. Our sin nature says, I'm not doing it. And so that's where the application sometimes falls short. We can read it and go, oh, well, that's really nice for somebody else. But I'm not going to choose to do it this way. And that's where we get ourselves in trouble. So application is just simply walking it out to be transformed, which is the goal, right? We talked about that in the beginning. Okay, so some general application questions that you can ask yourself as you're going through this application process. What does the passage teach? I think I've got these in there for you. Does this truth expose any error in my beliefs or in my behavior? Ouch. What is God's instruction to me? And I think sometimes when we look for instructions, we look for do this, don't do that. And instruction has, there's a lot of other instruction that don't have a do this or a do that in front of it. So instructions, what does God instruct me to do here? How does this affect what I believe about God, myself, or others? So those are just some general questions. There's tons more. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and just gives it to you. He'll just hit your heart with it. And you'll know what you're supposed to do from it. Okay. Are you guys ready to try it? I want you to be able to leave here today and feel equipped to go home and really do this. And so at first it might seem a little overwhelming. It might seem like, okay, I don't get it. This is too much marking. This is too much to keep up with. I like just reading it and moving on. But I promise that if you'll give it some time, if you'll give it some practice, that you'll see incredible benefits in your life. Not only will you know the Word of God in your head, you will also know it in your heart and have an intimacy with the Lord that I have not experienced outside of really knowing the Word like this. So let's pick up your little white sheet there that's got 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 on it. We're going to use this as our example. And the first thing we want to look at, well, okay, ideally, when you're studying inductively like this, you want to look at it a book at a time. Study one book at a time. So do all of 1 Thessalonians, or do all of, you know, Matthew, or whatever. A book at a time, because again, we're keeping it in context. And so just doing a chapter here and there is not as beneficial. So you really want to do the whole book at once. And what was my other point about that? I don't know. Okay, move on. So the first thing we want to look at, this is a letter. We talked about in letters, we're going to look for authors and recipients, right? So what you would want to do, and since we don't have enough time really to do this, you would go home and you would read the chapter through once, just reading it through. So if you have this in front of you and you're at home, you just go through 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just read it. Okay, and then go back and start all your steps. But for the sake of time, we're just going to dive in, okay? So we're going to look for the author and the recipient. So let's look for the author first. And I do all this in colored pencils, and I mark all of my authors and recipients and that kind of stuff in a different color. And I know especially for the guys, that might seem a little bit fourth grade. But that's really the way Precept teaches you to do it. Because then you can look at your page and it bounces off. You know, if you're looking for like that 1 John chapter 4, love, there's like 27 hearts on my page. Or, again, I know that sounds totally girly, but really, I mean, it makes a really big difference. You're looking for the word repent, and you see this big arrow, turn around and go the other direction. Then you can see on that page, oh, this is about repenting. I need to turn from my sin. I need, you know, so it really does pull off the page, and you're able to see it a lot easier. So that's why we mark it, and it's not just to make our page pretty, okay? So I want you to go ahead and mark it. If you have some different colored pens or whatever, you're welcome to. If not, we're just going to use different symbols for now. So for the author, I put an A over it. And if we look at verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. Does that tell us who the author is?
Yes.
Who is it?
Paul and
Silvanus. Good. Okay, so you're going to put an A. I just put an A over Paul. Now also when you're marking people, you're going to mark their pronouns. So we're going to look for I, we, things like that as well. Okay, so let's go to verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. Did you mark we? And did you mark our? You should, if you didn't. Okay, so those are the pronouns for our author. So put an A, again, over we, and put an A over our. Are you with me? Good. Okay, let's go on to verse 3. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Did you mark both of those? Okay. Verses 4 through 10, I want you to do on your own, and then we'll walk through it together. So put your capital A over all the pronouns for the author, and then just look up at me when you're done. And we about finished? That didn't take too long. Good. Okay. Verse 4. Did you mark anything in verse 4?
No.
No. Good. What about 5?
Our and we.
Good. Our and we. 6.
Us.
Good. 7.
No.
No. Okay. What about 8?
We.
We. Right. Okay. Verse 9.
Us.
Us and we. And 10? Good. All right. You guys are getting it. Okay, let's go on to the recipients. Now look at verse 1 again. And for the recipients, I just box it in. I just draw a box around it. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Do we learn who the recipient is?
The church at Thessalonians.
The church at Thessalonians, good. So just draw a box around that. Is there any other thing we should mark in verse 1 about them?
You.
Good. Grace to you and peace. Okay, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Okay, stop there for a second. Should we put a box around our on those two, our Lord and our God? Is it possible that it's our God and their God? Right. Okay, so draw the A and draw the box. I wasn't trying to make that a trick question, but so you're going to do both on that. Okay, verses 4 through 10, do on your own. How are we doing? You ready? Okay. Verse 4, what'd you mark?
You.
You? Okay. What about brethren?
One.
Yeah, good. Yeah, let's mark brethren, too. Because that's referring to the recipients, too. Okay, verse 5.
You.
You.
You,
you, and your. I heard somebody say our. For our gospel did not come to you in word only. It eventually becomes their gospel as well. But for the purposes right now, we're just going to keep that R just an A. So we've got 3 you's and a your in verse 5. Okay, verse 6. Okay, good. Verse 7. 8. Good. 9. And 10. Good. You got it. All right. The other thing, which I haven't told you so far, is anytime any book that I'm reading, no matter if it's historical or if it's a minor prophet or if it's a letter, I always mark God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's the key principal role, no matter where you are in the Word. And so we need to know everything we can possibly know about God, about Jesus, and about the Holy Spirit. So for God, I always put a triangle over it. For Jesus, I put a cross. And for the Holy Spirit, I just circle it. So that's going to help us when we get further along in the process to always be learning about the character of God, about what he's done for us, and we're going to make lists and all that kind of stuff too. So we won't go through marking all those because there's several of them, but just so you know, in your own practice, do that as well. Okay, the other key word that we want to mark here, I don't know if you've recognized it yet, is there any word that has been repeated? Other than the two, other than the author and the recipients, is there a word that's been repeated?
Yes.
What is it?
Yes.
Okay, other than that. Sorry. The word? Good, that's it. Okay. So, this one, again, like I said, sometimes it's not quite as easy to spot as in some of the other books. But if you look at verse 5, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and Holy Spirit with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you." Okay, then in verse 6, he says, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word." Is that not the gospel? That's the same thing as what they were talking about in verse 5, okay? So we would mark gospel in verse 5, word in verse 6, and then also in verse 8 again. "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you." Do you want to know how to mark it? I mean, you can mark it however you want to, but I put a megaphone over mine. It's just draw a triangle with a circle at the end. Or you can circle it, you can draw a big G on it, you know, it just get creative. That's to be sounding forth. We're going to sound forth the gospel. That's the purpose of the megaphone. It just kind of helps you give you the word picture. That's why I do the repent with the circle around and that kind of thing. So that last part of which one, I'm sorry?
Gospel word.
Verse 8, yeah. So 5, 6, and 8.
What word is the name?
Word. "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you." So see, when you're as you're reading, not only are you looking for things to mark, you're really paying attention to what is he saying here. So in verse 5, "Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and Holy Spirit and full conviction." And then in verse 6, "You became imitators of us in the Lord, having received the word." So their gospel came, they received the word, and then what happens in verse 8? Right, "For the word of the Lord sounded forth." So that's why those three words are the same thing. Because the gospel came to them, they received that gospel, and then they sent that gospel out. Does that make sense? Okay, good. So that's the other word, the other key word. I mean, that's huge. This is going to be a huge part of this chapter, and that's why we marked that. Again, this is not to make our page look pretty. We're trying to really pull out key repeated words that are going to reveal to us important subjects and themes that we need to know about this passage. Okay, so once we've got everything marked, then you're going to go back and make a list of the things that you've learned. So again, let's walk through this a little bit together. Now what I do is in the margin, I just write author, and then I just start listing everything that I learn about the author. And you always want to put the reference next to it. So if we look at verse 1, I would say Paul is the author, because in verse 1 it says, you know, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians. So I would say verse 1, Paul is the author. So just write that in your margin or at the bottom of the page, wherever you've got space. And then that way, when you look at your list, you always know where you got that information. Otherwise, if you're just scribbling notes, you're like, no, where? I can't find that anymore. Where was that? So put the reference next to it. Okay? Verse 2. You want to be looking, when we're making lists, you want to look for things that are specific about the subject. So note what you've specifically learned about Paul in this case. Verse 2. What do you learn about Paul? Good. He's giving thanks for the Thessalonians. So you'd write verse 2, gives thanks. And gives thanks when?
Always.
Always. Good. And what else in verse 2?
Praise.
Praise? Oh, yeah. Yeah, praise. I was thinking P-R-A-I-S-E, and I was like, praise, where'd they get that? And how'd they all get that? P-R-A-Y-S, got it. Praise. Okay, so he's going to pray for them. Good, verse 2, he's praying for them. Let's see, in verse 3, is there something specific that you learn about the author?
Bearing in mind faith and love.
Okay, good. Bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love. So he's keeping that kind of thing in mind. Good. That was something I didn't get. So see how we all help each other out. Okay, do verses 4 through 10 by yourselves and make the list of things that you learn about Paul. Again, looking for specific things that you learn about him. Okay, I know I'm rushing you, but we have just a little bit of time left. I want to get through as much as possible. So we'll walk through these next few together. What about verse 4? All right, good. I didn't have that one down either, but I think that works. Really, the thing, too, to look at as you go through is as you're looking for the places that you've marked Paul, that's usually a good place to start. Where you've marked something is where you want to look for something specific to learn about them. Let's move on to verse 5.
Paul has integrity and grace.
Okay, where do you see that?
As you know, what kind of man he proved to be a Muslim.
Okay, so he proved to be a specific kind of guy. But it doesn't necessarily say he had integrity and character. I mean, we know he did, but again, this is where you let the text speak for itself. So that's the right track. Yes?
I think the gospel came in 2 to 3 ways. Good. Not only in word, but in power, and the Holy Spirit in cultivation. That's 3 ways, right?
Good. That answers the question how. The question we want to learn about Paul is that he brought the gospel to him. Remember, we're looking at Paul here. So Paul brought the gospel to the Thessalonians. That's good. You're on the right track. But we're trying to keep specific to him. And then the how is in power and Holy Spirit with full conviction. Okay? Okay, let's move on to the recipient. Just for the sake of getting through as much as possible. Okay. The recipient we know is the Church of Thessalonians. So, again, when you make your list, and what else did they do? They received the word. Good. How? In much tribulation and in joy of the Holy Spirit. Good. Are you catching on a little bit? I know we're moving kind of fast. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So you can kind of deal with it at the same time, like go through and make your list and then also answer the other questions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it kind of just depends. I mean, some of this is just as you get going through it, you'll kind of figure out how you want to map it all out, you know. I wouldn't necessarily make another list for the what, where, why, when, how, whatever. I would just kind of keep it all together. But